Hello, this is Spencer DeVries, lead pastor of the Well Fort Payne. Thank you so much for tuning into our podcast today. It's our hope and our prayer that every time you listen to one of our services, that your life is changed by the power of the Word of God. So I encourage you today, listen with open ears and an open heart. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly and receive it with gladness.
Well, I also want to congratulate you for being in the house of the Lord. As Pastor Trevor said, it's a choice that you make. And even this week, my family and I, we were out and we were car shopping, which sounds fun, but it's really not fun. How many of you guys know it's like, it seems like that'd be, let's get a new car, but it's not always that fun. Sometimes it's a little stressful to try to pick out a vehicle. But as I was doing that, I met with obviously different car salesmen, and both of them that I spoke with, I asked them about if they were in church. When it came up that I was a minister, I asked them, I said, hey, do you have a church? Because I wanted to invite them. I was over in Huntsville. I wanted to invite them to go to the Well in Huntsville. And both of them said, Sunday's my only day off. I just haven't really found a place yet. And I understand that Sunday may be somebody's only day off, but I'm so thankful that because God never takes a day off. He never sleeps. He never slumbers. And so if God never takes a day off, then why would I say my only day off I'm not going to spend with the one that gave everything for me? Not that you can't spend time with God throughout the week, but I believe that church is such a priority, and I congratulate you. I'm not coming down on you. I am encouraging you and edifying you. You made the right choice. You got to the house of the Lord today, and make sure that you use this time not just to worship because the music's going and hear the word. Those things are important, but make a choice today. Fellowship with somebody. If you're going to go out to eat, ask somebody to come with you. Invite them over to your house later this week. Set up a time to get coffee together. Get somebody's phone number so that you can connect with them. Now, some of y'all young people are like, yeah, I'm going to be getting them numbers. I know what you're talking about. No, I'm talking about for godly fellowship and relationship. Just get connected. That's one of the most important things about church is fellowship. And so I encourage you to do that today. We're going to look to the Word of God. One more thing before we do, though, is directly following service, we have three amazing people that are going to be getting baptized today, following the Lord and believers' baptism. And so we invite every single one of you to stay afterwards. If you will exit through these doors to my left, your right, and go down this way under the pavilion, the baptistry is set up out there, and we're going to have three people getting baptized, and I'm so proud of each and every one of you guys, and we want to surround them and support them and celebrate the decision that they're making to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. And listen, we don't save up baptisms for a certain time. We just, as someone says, hey, I want to get baptized, if you aren't ready today, you want to get baptized next week, we'll fill the baptistry back up for you next week. We want to see people follow the Lord in believers' baptism. So make sure and stay around for that after service. Grab your Bible, stand to your feet, turn with me to the book of James, the third chapter. I want to read to you verses 1 through 12. If you don't have your Bible, we should have the scriptures on the screens that you can follow along if you don't have your device or your Bible or whatever you normally consume God's word with. But we're going to read, I'm going to use the New King James Version of the Bible and read James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. And then I'll share with you what the Lord's placed on my heart to speak on this morning. As you're turning there, I recently heard a story. My grandfather and I were on the phone. He told me a funny little story, and so I'm going to tell it in honor of him. He said there was this gentleman. He just recently moved to the community, and he and his wife had this little dog that they had for 20 years. It was their precious little dog. How many of y'all got a little dog you like, or a big dog, but you got a dog? Well, this dog was a part of the family, and this dog passed away. And they were sad, and they wanted some words said over it at their funeral. So they went to the local Baptist church. And they met with the pastor and they said, Pastor, this dog has been a part of our family for 20 years. We wondered if you might be willing to say a few words over the dog at the funeral that we're going to hold for him and just comfort the family and speak over him. He said, well, that's not something that we normally do because we don't believe that dogs go to heaven. We don't, they're not humans. He said, you might try the Methodist church down the road. And so the people, they said, well, all right. Well, I was wondering how much you reckon would be a good offering to give that Methodist minister for saying a few words over the dog. I was thinking somewhere in the neighborhood of $300. And the preacher stood up. He said, why didn't you tell me your dog was a Baptist? All right. James chapter 3, verses 1 through 12. My brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. For we all stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, able also to bridle the whole body. What he's telling us is the hardest thing to control is the tongue. If you can control the tongue, you can control everything else. And so often we get so caught up on, I don't need to do this and I don't need to do that. But if we would focus on, I want to learn how to bridle and control my tongue, it would come a lot easier to say no to the other things that our body and our flesh want to give into that are not advantageous for our walk with Jesus Christ. Verse 3, indeed, we put bits in horses' mouths that they may obey us, and we turn their whole body. Look also at ships. They are so large and are driven by fierce winds, but they're turned by a very small rudder, wherever the pilot desires. That's a very key verse that I want you to get. These huge ships, there's a very small rudder, and wherever the pilot turns that rudder, even though it's the winds that are driving and giving force to the boat, the direction of the boat is controlled by the rudder, and the rider is likening the rudder to our tongue in our mouth. Okay? Verse 5, even so, the tongue is a little member, but it boasts great things. See how great a forest fire, a little fire kindles? And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is also set among our members that it defiles the whole body. And it sets on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind. But no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Let's pray today. Father, I thank you for your word. Help us to receive it today with the strength and the grace necessary. Help us to mix it with faith so that it can become a flourishing part of our life. God, help us to remove what is not necessary. God, let your word be like the surgeon's scalpel and cut away and prune the things that are hindering us from bearing fruit. And God, help us to latch on to what you want us to hear. Father, I empty myself of me, and I pray that you would baptize me and overwhelm me with the spirit of wisdom and understanding to be able to speak to your church clearly today what you want us to hear in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. You may be seated. Now, I want to talk to you today about the most dangerous part of your body, which is the tongue. We're not going to spend a lot of time unpacking what James said, and the reason being is I believe that James states things so clearly that you kind of already got what the gist of what he was saying. And so unlike normally I would read you a text and then kind of break down what's being said, but I want to look at this, and that is our baseline for what we're going to talk about. Hopefully you understood what the writer was saying. It's very clear that he said we shouldn't be blessing God and cursing people. We can't have blessings and curses coming out of our mouth, and that the tongue, no man can tame the tongue. It's an unruly evil. And I know that we see this as important, but we need to not just see it as important, but we need to live like this is important, right? We would read this and go, oh yeah, that's important. What I say matters, how I say it matters. And something that I want you to get before we ever start is I'm not just, when I talk about your words or talk about your tongue, it's not just what you say, it's also how you say it. There's something called tone, right? Like if someone said, man, thanks a lot, or if someone said, man, thanks a lot. Said the exact same thing, but the way that I said it was different. One was in a heart of gratitude, and one was from sarcasm. Man, thanks a lot. Meaning like, well, anybody could have done that, or that's awful, or that's terrible. I hate that you did that. And so not just when I talk about what to say, it's not just saying the right thing, but it's saying in the right way, and that comes back to the heart. But from the beginning of time, words have been used to bury hopes, to kill dreams, to demolish confidence, to strike down potential, and to extinguish callings. How many mighty men and women of God that God had called, he'd put a dream in their heart, he'd put an anointing on their life, and somewhere a pastor, a teacher, a parent, a friend begin to speak into that person and say, you'll never be able to do that. What makes you think you can get on a stage and preach the gospel? What makes you think you can get on a plane and go around the world to Africa or to China and preach the gospel? You're just a little guy from here or from there. How many times have words spoken into people? Somebody that could have invented something that would have helped mankind, but somebody wasn't there to encourage them. Instead, they were there to put them down and to extinguish those dreams and those hopes and those callings that are on people's life. Because James calls the tongue a fire and a world of iniquity. He says it's an unruly evil and it's full of deadly poison. Now, I understand that this portion of scripture receives a lot of traffic. And undoubtedly, if you walk with God for any period of time, you've been a churchgoer, you've probably heard a bunch of sermons on this, or at least quotations of the scripture. You've read it before. But I believe that we cannot let that keep us from learning what God says in his word. So often because, well, I've heard it before. I'm asking you today, don't tune me out because you've heard a sermon on the tongue before. Listen, maybe you did, and maybe it helped for a little while. Hopefully this will help for a little while to get you back on the right path. In fact, the other day, we were playing baseball in the front yard, and one of my sons, who will rename unnamed, had a little attitude, and he was upset that there was a ball that he'd missed, and he now had to chase it into the woods. And as he was in the woods, one of my other sons said, "I'd like to pray for so-and-so." And I was like, "Okay, like why?" He said, "Because he's on the wrong path right now with his attitude. And I'd like to pray that he'd get back on the right path." And so hopefully this sermon, if you've gotten off on the wrong path with your tongue, this will help you get back on the right path. Now, here's another thing I want you to see. I'm not going to stand up here and tell you that I'm perfect at this. I'm not going to say I never mess up with my tongue. I never get frustrated and say things that I shouldn't say to somebody, because if I did that, then I would be lying to you. Because we've already established in the book of James that if anyone can control the tongue, they can control the whole body, and they're absolutely perfect. And I'm not going to stand here and tell you that I'm perfect today. And if we needed somebody that was batting 1,000 in order to preach a sermon on something, we wouldn't have any preachers. Nobody could stand up here and declare the word to us. So I'm saying this to you. I want you to know, I want to grow in how I communicate with people. I want to mature in how I speak to my wife, how I speak to my children, how I communicate the gospel of Jesus Christ to you. I want to get better, and I want to train my tongue. I want to use my words to impart joy and life and hope and confidence into others. Anybody with me on that? All right. Well, if we understood the power of our words, we would speak a lot differently. If you understood the weight of what you say to that child, the weight of what you say to that coworker, you would speak a lot differently. Just like words have been used to destroy dreams and to demolish destinies and to break down hope and callings, words can also be used to build up, to edify, to encourage, to propel forward, to speak the truth and love to people, to make them realize and understand, and the warning that comes from living a life that is wayward and is not in line with God's word, and to instill truth and hope into people's life. So I want you to understand this today. The Bible says no man can tame the tongue. That's a truth that we cannot get around, okay? But it doesn't say you can't train the tongue. It says you can't tame it. So you cannot tame your tongue, but you can have a trained tongue. And I want us today to have a trained tongue. What does that mean? A tongue that is educated in the way of speaking hope and peace and life and joy and confidence into others. And a tongue that is trained and disciplined to where I'm not going to speak death. I'm not going to speak corruption. I'm not going to speak unwholesome things. In fact, Paul told the Ephesians in Ephesians 4:29, "Let no corrupt or let no unwholesome talk come out of your mouth except that which is necessary for edification, that it can impart grace into the hearer." He said, "Let all wrath and bitterness and malice, put that stuff away from you." You know, sometimes when you're training for something, you've got to put some things to the side. Well, we've got to take the wrath and the bitterness and the anger and the malice and put it aside and say, you know what? That's not what's going to flow out of this mouth, because blessings and curses, they shouldn't be coming out of my mouth. Fresh water and bitter water ought not to be coming. And I want you to get this also. The Bible says no man can tame the tongue. That's why I say you can't tame it. You can only train it. But it doesn't say God can't do it. Because if we say, it doesn't say the tongue is untamable. It doesn't say the tongue cannot be tamed. It says no man can tame the tongue. You know what Jesus said? With man, this is impossible. But with God, how many things are possible? All things are possible. So the tongue can be tamed. It just can't be tamed in our human ability. We have to submit ourselves to him and say, God, I need you to help me train and tame this tongue. So with his help, we can train our tongue to be used for life instead of death. I want you to see this. Your tongue can become a shield that protects people instead of a deadly poison that harms people. That if you can use it for as an unruly evil, then you can use it as a beneficial good for other people to say, you know what? I'm going to speak words of life onto my children. I'm going to speak words of peace and encouragement and confidence so that when other people try to infiltrate their life with the poison of evil words, it just rolls right off of their back because they realize that's not what God says about me. That's not what my parents said about me. That's not who I am. I have been shielded because of the words of life that have been spoken over me. Your words can be a source of comfort for those that are broken, those that are hurting. Your words can change the direction of your family. Sometimes, I don't know about you, but as a parent, as a husband, every now and then I have to take a solemn look around my home and go, is this house going the direction that it needs to be going? Are we pursuing God? Because, yeah, I pastor a church, but my first priority is to make sure that my home is in alignment with God. I can't push my home to the side in order to make sure that the church grows and the church is benefited. And every now and then you've got to look around, parents, and go, is our home going the right direction? You know how you change the direction of your home? Change your words. If you don't like the direction that your house is going, your home is going, your family is going, change the way that you talk. You may say, well, that just sounds kind of silly. What did James say? Look at these big ships. They're driven by fierce winds, but they're controlled and they are guided by a small rudder. Even so, the tongue. And so our tongue, well, the words that we say, is what will steer the direction of our family. If you want your family to go in a peaceful manner instead of there being fighting and bickering all the time, maybe you need to change the way that you speak to your spouse, the way that you speak to your children. So could it be that your breakthrough is on the other side of your willingness to change how you talk? This is something that's amazing to me about Christians. We always want God to break through everything for us. I just need a breakthrough. I need a breakthrough. I need God to bring about a breakthrough. Listen, he is the Lord of the breakthrough, but he is not obligated to break through what you are willing to put up with. That hurts. Because sometimes we want him to take it away while we're still trying to hold on to it. I need God to do a breakthrough. And we want to keep talking the same way, believing the same way, acting the same way. And we want him to bring the breakthrough. No, if you want a breakthrough, there's going to have to be some change in your life and say, you know what? I'm going to stop speaking the words that are building the walls that need to be broken through. And instead, I'm going to speak words that are going to build life and hope and peace and joy in my home. So often, we want God to fix things without changing us. And that is not the way that God set it up. We're like, God, take the problems, take the issues, take the circumstances, take the difficulties, but leave me alone because I don't want any responsibility to live in a different way. And so we want God to fix things without changing us. But usually, it's us that needs the fixing. And God allows things to happen to reveal to us and open our eyes to see there's things in my life that need to be changed. Somewhere in us, there's a deep need for growth and for maturity, for greater obedience, for a different approach. And so if you want your life to change, then your words are going to have to change. And not just your words, your tone's going to have to change. Because your tone is linked to the heart in which you said the words that you spoke out of your mouth. And so really, it's a heart issue that we need to get to. Choose this in your life. Only peaceful things are passing through these lips. If it won't impart peace, I'm not going to say it. If it doesn't impart the necessary edification that Paul talked about in Ephesians chapter 4, I'm not going to declare it. Only edification, only hopeful things, only grateful expressions. Decide this, I will not let complaining and condescending statements be a part of my vernacular. If it's going to put someone down, I might as well not even say it. Y'all remember the old idiom, if you ain't got something nice to say, don't say nothing at all. Sometimes it's the simplest things that bear the most truth. If we don't have something that's going to build up, why even say it? What benefit was that? Do you feel better about yourself? maybe for a second, but what you don't realize is the seed that you sowed is a fruit that you're going to have to harvest at a later time in that complaining or that condescending statement that you made. So every time you open your mouth, you can either bless somebody or curse somebody. You can either build somebody up or you can tear somebody down. You can strengthen someone or you can weaken someone. You can edify someone or you can destroy someone. So here's what I want you to come away with today. Don't leave your tongue loose. Train it. Now, I want to show you this in example with the body. If we wanted to train our body, we wanted to get our body into shape, we wanted to start making sure that we were healthier and we were more fit, what we would do is we would do two things. One, we would change our diet, right? We would change what we eat. And then two, we would start to exercise. So what I want to do today is I want to give you a few things that you can do to train your tongue. Because Paul said to us, I speak to you in human terms, basically, so that you can understand what I'm saying. So I'm going to show you an example in your body. If you want to get in shape, you understand I can't keep eating KFC and McDonald's and Chick-fil-A and Wingstop and expect to get in better shape. Right? I got to change. I got to start eating some more salads. I got to start eating some more salmon. I got to start eating some more, what's something else with an S? Sandwiches. I don't know. That's probably not a good one, you know, if you're trying to cut out carbs. But I've got to change the way that I eat. I can't just eat fried chicken and pizza all the time and expect to be in good shape. But also, I can't just change the way that I eat. If I want to build muscle, I've got to begin to work out. I've got to begin to exercise. So, well, if we want to live with a trained tongue, then we're going to have to make some changes. The first thing that needs to change is our diet. So your diet needs to change. Here's what that means. What you feed yourself with. In other words, what you let come in will determine what comes out of your mouth. And so if you want to have a trained tongue, it doesn't start with what you say. It starts with what you listen to. So often we're like, I need to change. I'm going to focus on not saying this, not saying that, saying this, saying that. What we really need to start with, the starting point for changing our tongue needs to be with, what am I letting come into me? What am I filling my heart with? What am I feeding myself with? And what do I allow to have access to my heart? In the book of Proverbs, chapter 4, it says, above all else, guard your heart. Or some translations say, with all diligence, guard your heart, because out of it flow the springs or the issues of life. Now, you may think it's not a big deal what you listen to, what you allow to infiltrate your life, but let me remind you of another old saying, garbage in is garbage out. I wish I had a dollar for every time my mom told me that. When I asked, can I listen to this band? Can I watch this movie? Garbage in is garbage out, right? And so we can't move away from that because we're like, well, now I'm adult. I can watch whatever I want. No, what you allow in will still be the determining factor of what comes out. So Jesus said, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. How do you think you get an abundance in your heart? By letting things in. So whatever you let in, as it grows in abundance, it will eventually become the fuel for what comes out of your life. So the question is today, what is in the abundance of your heart? Because that's what will come out the most. So you need to ask yourself two questions. You ready? Number one, what am I listening to? What am I listening to? Now, very quickly, I want you to understand, I did not say, what are you hearing? I said, what are you listening to? Because you cannot control everything that you hear, but you are in charge of what you listen to. Okay? You may work a secular job and there's people around you dropping F-bombs left and right, telling dirty jokes here and there, bad-mouthing the boss, talking bad about their spouse, complaining about this and that. You can't control what you hear, but you can control and you decide, I'm not listening to that. I might hear it, but when I listen, that means I give my ear to it. Then I'm like, you know what? I'm going to allow that to have a place in my heart. You might hear it, but you don't have to be affected by it. You decide this is a bloodline that has been drawn by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, and those things cannot transgress, cannot pass over that bloodline. I decide I'm not giving my ear to those things. I might be subjected to it when I'm in Walmart or when I'm out in public or when I'm at work, but I'm not going to listen to those things. So you ask and you decide what's getting my attention and what's getting my emotional energy. The Bible says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So, what are we listening to? Well, the first thing we should be listening to is the word of God. Read the word, study the word, memorize the word, obey the word. So you decide when somebody on my job, somebody in my family, somebody at church, somebody in the community, somebody texts me and they start complaining and they start gossiping and they start griping, you decide, I'm not listening to that. You might lose some friends, but if they're gossipers and complainers, you probably don't need them anyways, okay? Because I understand, what did the book of James say? Oh, what great a forest a little fire kindles and starts. Shelley, would you play that video? This was up in Canada back in June. These are two workers that are working on these people's pool. This guy puts a cigarette in the dirt, and he thinks it's out. 6 hours later, when it's dark, you see the little fire. All of a sudden, the entire hedge catches fire and just is in huge flames, and this guy runs out in his underwear trying to get it. I mean, I feel bad for him, you know, but he's trying to put this fire out. But this was just a little cigarette butt that he thought he'd extinguished, and he put it in the soil. And next thing you know, 6 hours later, it still came and grew and hit that bush, and it exploded into a huge fire. What I want you to see is this. When you're at work, or when you're in a conversation with someone and they start speaking that little gossip tone and they start speaking those little condescending remarks about someone or complaining, you may think, oh, it's no big deal. But hours later, if you let that word have a place inside of your heart, what a great fire it can begin to kindle. And so this is an example that we think, oh, it's nothing. It was just a little conversation. It was just, they're just frustrated. They just need to get it off their chest. No, you allowed those words to take place in your heart. And fire can become dangerous. They could have, thankfully, nobody was hurt in that fire. But they could, the whole neighborhood could have burned down if that guy didn't have some kind of awareness to get out there with that fire hose and put it out. And we just think, oh, you know, that's just Nancy. That's just how she is. No, she's a complainer. She's a gossip. She's a busybody. And if you allow her to have an access to your heart, it can create a fire that will get out of control. Or maybe you're Nancy and you're planting those kind of words into your children, into your coworkers, into your, you know, brothers and sisters in Christ. And so the tongue, it's an unruly evil. So here's what I say to you. Be careful who you listen to. Be careful what you listen to, because what you listen to will determine what you say. And if you don't want poison coming out, don't let poison come in, because it can spark a great big fire. You can't drink poison and expect to live a long, healthy life. I think I'll have a touch of arsenic with dinner tonight, and I'm gonna get stronger because of it. But we do that with our words. We speak poison and expect that it's gonna change the situation. We allow poison to come in, and we expect ourselves to be healthier because of it. We've got to protect ourselves. You can't control what you hear. You're going to hear things that are not good, not what you should be ingesting, but you can control. I'm not giving energy to that. I'm not giving attention to that, okay? Number two, you need to ask yourself, what am I thinking about? Because as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. From the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So in the same way, you can't control every thought that comes, because thoughts can be sparked by what you see, and you can't control everything that you see. But you are in charge of what train of thought you decide to ride on, okay? So just like you can't control everything you hear, but you are in charge of what you listen to, you can't control every thought that bombards your mind, but you are in charge of what you think about. That's why in Corinthians, Paul said, take every thought captive that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ Jesus. So that means that when the thought comes that's an impure thought, or the thought comes that's a negative thought, that's a poisonous, deadly thing, I'm not going to dwell on that thought. I'm going to cast it aside. And I'm going to choose. I'm going to think about. Remember where we ended last week, Philippians chapter 4. Finally, brethren, whatever things are pure, whatever things are just, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are noble, whatever things are praiseworthy, if there's anything, all of these things that he lists, think about these things. Meditate about on these things. Because what we think about is what will eventually come out of our mouth. That's why Paul told the Colossians in chapter 3, verse 2, set your mind on things above. Don't think about things on the earth. But think about kingdom things. Think about heavenly things. I want to give you something to do this week in regards to your thinking. Think about and dwell on how much God loves you. Now, that sounds really selfish. I'm just going to sit around and think about how much God loves me? Yes. Why? Because when you have a proper revelation of how much God loves you, then you'll have a better understanding of how much God loves other people. And if you really love people, you won't tear them down. you'll build them up. If you really love people, you won't speak negativity into their life. You'll speak hope into their life. You won't speak against the dreams that God placed in them. You'll speak faith into their heart. And so think about how much God loves you. And if he loves me that much, because I know all the bad things I've done, then how much does he love other people? And how much should I have love for them? You ever wonder, I do sometimes, where'd that negative thought come from? Where did that condescending remark that I made towards somebody, where'd that come from? It didn't just appear out of the thin air. It came from somewhere. Where'd that judgmental statement, I saw somebody and I'm like, oh, who do they think they are? Where did that come from? Where did the off-color joke, where'd it come from? It came from somewhere you let your mind dwell on the wrong thing. Somewhere you listened to something that you shouldn't have listened to. So we need to ask ourselves, what am I listening to and what am I thinking about? Listen to the word. Meditate on the word. Listen, the key, I'm just going to give you the crux. You might not ever come back to church here today again, because anything you ever hear from me, pretty much the answer is going to be the word and walk with the Holy Spirit. If you fill yourself with the word and you try to walk with the Holy Spirit, listen, that's the key to Christian living. Now, there's other things that come alongside and will make it more advantageous and beneficial, but we have got to get back to we're people of the word and we walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. If we do those two things, we'll think right, we'll talk right, we'll live right, and we will make a great impact on this community. So, you got to change your diet, but you know what else you have to do? You got to exercise, because you can change your diet and you may be healthier, but you won't get any stronger. The way you get stronger is when you exercise. So I want to give you three exercises in order to train your tongue to be effective in speaking life. The first exercise is talk less. That's the first exercise. That's what I want you to do. You know, sometimes you think, well, exercise is doing something. No, no, discipline is also in what you don't do, not just in what you do. This is an exercise, because exercise, at the root of all exercise, you find something called discipline. And that's really where a lot of people have issue. So the discipline is in learning what not to say. And you'll be a lot better off in your life if you decide, you know what, I'm going to talk less. I'm not going to say just everything that comes to my mind. Because everything that comes to your mind may not be beneficial, it may not be fruitful, it may not be helpful, it may not be edifying. In Proverbs chapter 10, verse 19, Solomon writes and he says this, in the multitude of words, sin is not lacking. But he who restrains his lips is wise. I want to read it to you from the HCSB, that's the Holman Christian Standard Bible. The same verse reads like this. I love this. When there are many words, sin is unavoidable. But the one who controls his lips is wise. That means that when you talk too much, you're going to sin. There's no way around it. If you open your mouth and you talk, eventually that tongue is going to slip up somewhere. Eventually it's going to say something that you didn't need to. And so you cannot transgress, you cannot miss the mark in speech if you just keep your mouth shut. Just don't talk too much. Your opinion doesn't have to be known about everything. Right? Y'all know my opinion on opinions. Opinions are like armpits. Everybody's got them. Most of them stink. Right? So, you can have your opinion, and you can live by it, but that doesn't mean that you have to fill the air with your stinky opinion. You can just sometimes, it's okay to say, you know what? I may think I know better than them, but I'm going to keep my mouth shut, because I'm not God's gift to the world to reveal the sum total of wisdom to everybody. Sometimes I'm just going to learn to keep my mouth shut. Speaking's the quickest way to sin. So learn to hold your peace. Learn. This is a discipline. This is an exercise. Pause for a moment. Just pause. Ask yourself, is what I'm about to say, is it really going to make a difference? Is it really going to help? And if it's not, it's probably not worth saying. So just stop. Talk less. Allow me to let the word speak for itself for a moment. I want to read to you some passages of Scripture. James 1:19. My beloved brothers, understand this. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak and slow to anger. How many of us should do that? All of us. Just slow down. Talk a little less. It's okay. Guess what? The world's going to be a better place. We could all cure global warming if we just talked less. I'm joking. Proverbs 17:27. A man of knowledge restrains his words, and a man of understanding maintains a calm spirit. Let's reverse that. A stupid person talks all the time, and a man without understanding has a distressed spirit. So if we want to be a wise person, we need to learn to restrain our words. Amen. Listen, we think that because we're wise, we should talk more. Well, because I have wisdom, I need to share that wisdom with other people. No, a person that's truly wise knows how to keep their mouth shut. Now, there's a time that things need to be said. There's also a time to hold your peace. Ecclesiastes 5, 2, and 3. Do not be quick to speak, and do not be hasty in your heart to utter a word before God. After all, God's in heaven and you're on the earth. That kind of puts us in our place right there. So, let your words be few. As a dream comes through many cares, so the speech of a fool comes with many words. Someone with many words is a fool. Now, there's nothing wrong with liking to talk, okay? I'm a talker. I like to talk. Pastor Jeff, he jokes on me about that all the time. He's like, man, you're just a talker. You just talk for 30 minutes. I'm such a talker that when we stop somewhere and I'm getting out of the car and the family's standing in the car, and my son Bo, who's 5, says, Dad, please don't chit-chat so we're not here forever. Because he knows if I go in somewhere and I get in a conversation, what will happen is I'll come back to the car. I'll be like, man, that guy sure can talk. And by that guy, I mean me. I'm that guy that can talk. And so I'm not saying that it's wrong to be a talker. What I'm saying is that we have to learn if what I'm saying isn't beneficial, it's not going to add to somebody's life, then it's probably wise just to not say it at all. I don't want to be a fool. If you want to have a trained tongue, which is a disciplined tongue, what you don't say is just as important as what you do say. So often we focus on what we need to say. Oh, I should probably say this more. I should probably say that more. Let's start with talking less, because we can't sin with our tongue if our tongue isn't moving. Okay? Last one, James 1:26. If anyone among you thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his own heart, this one's religion is useless. What's James saying? All the great, what is religion? True and undefiled, pure religion is taking care of the widows and the orphans, right? And not giving oneself over to the world. And so James is saying this: you can do all of those great things. Help the widows, help the orphans, keep yourself unspotted from the world. But if you can't bridle your tongue, all those things, they're just rendered useless. It doesn't matter. It's like Paul said, if I give my body to be burned, if I give all my goods to the poor, but I don't have love, it doesn't profit me or anybody else anything. It's the same way with our tongue. We can do all the right things, but at the end of the day, it's worthless because we don't know how to shut up. And I say that nicely. I say that to me. I'm looking in the mirror right now and saying, why don't you just learn sometimes to shut up? That's the first exercise. Talk less. Okay? Number two, second exercise, pray more. Because when you do talk, the first thing that you should focus on is talking to God. The first priority of your day, the first priority of your heart should be, I need to connect with God, because as Jesus said in John chapter 15, verse 1 and 2, I am the true vine and you're the branches. He goes on to say, apart from me, you can't do anything. So my first goal, my first priority of each and every morning is I need to connect with God. I need to talk with him. I need to take it to him, because the more you pray, the more your faith is built up. In fact, that's what Jude said. He said, praying in the Holy Spirit, building up your most holy faith. So if you want to speak faith throughout the day, then you need to build your faith meter up, and you build your faith meter up by praying in the Holy Spirit, praying and spending time with God, speaking to him, whether it's in your natural language or your heavenly language, but you're speaking to him, you're communing with him, and that's building up your faith so that you're less likely to speak words of doubt. You're less likely to manifest those words of fear and negativity. And when you feel overwhelmed and you just want to vent, take it to God. When you're angry, you're frustrated, you're overwhelmed, you're at your wit's end, take it to God. Instead of taking, listen, why is it that we're like, I just need to find someone, I just need to vent? Why? So you can poison them the same way you're poisoned? Why don't you go to God? Because he can take it. He can handle it. Say, God, this is what I'm dealing with. Well, I just need someone that understands me. God understands you better than you even know yourself. And so that he could better understand you, he sent his son so that he could sympathize with your weaknesses. Because he's so perfect, He's so good. He's so on point that he was like, I need to send Jesus in the likeness of human flesh so that I can greater sympathize with these people. Because I'm perfect in every way. I need to understand what's it like to struggle. So he sent Jesus. Because we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weakness. But in every way that we are tempted, he was tempted, yet he resisted sin. And so he understands the struggle. He understands the difficulty. He understands the stress and the pressure. And sometimes we're like, I just need somebody to vent to. No, you need to pray more. I'm not saying that we can't bear one another's burdens, but make sure that the complaints and the guile and the bitterness and the malice are all put away from you before you begin to share the thing that you want them to bear with you. You see, bearing one another's burdens is biblical. Sharing in one another's complaints and negativity is not. And that's where we have to draw the line. If I can't share my burden with them without bitterness, without guile, without being angry at someone else and filling their mind with negativity about this person, then I don't need to go to them. I first need to go to God. And I need to get all these things right and say, God, help me with this. I want to put away the bitterness. I want to put away the malice. I want to put away the envy. And that way, when I speak, I'm not speaking negative about this person. I'm not speaking in a sinful way. So exercise yourself in godliness and become a person of habitual prayer that would rather converse with God, the Creator, who can actually do something about it than with the creation who started the problem to begin with. Isn't it funny that we want to go to man to fix problems that only God can fix? And that's why we run to people. Something goes wrong. Run to Pastor Tanner. Man, they said this. They did this. What's, no offense to him, but what's he going to do about it? Right? Same thing if he were to come to me. What am I going to do about it? But you know who can do something about it? God. Because we can cast all our cares upon him because he cares for us. He'll take it. He'll take care of it. So go to the source of unlimited power and talk to him about it. Your friends don't have to know all your frustrations and all your complaints. They don't have to hear everything you hate about your job and everything you hate about this country. Don't be a source of poison in other people's life. Pray about it. Talk to God. Listen, he's listening. Here's something else I've learned about God. He actually cares. You ever went to someone and they're like, oh, I know, I know. And in the back of your mind, you're like, they don't really care, right? They don't really, like, or sometimes people are talking to me and I'm like, yeah, tough luck, right? Like, you know, outside I'm going, oh, that's terrible. I'm so sorry. And inside I'm going, you need to suck it up. You need to grow up. No, I'm just kidding. I don't do that with y'all. This is other people that I meet. But God actually cares. Here's the third exercise. So the first exercise, talk less. Second exercise, pray more. The third one is seek to encourage. Every time you open your mouth, seek to build people up. In fact, Paul told the Corinthians, he said, those of you that you're zealous for spiritual things, make sure that you seek to edify the church. Make sure that in your zeal for spiritual gifts and for knowledge, that your goal for those things is that other people would be edified. Other people would be built up. Every time you talk to somebody, find a legitimate reason to build them up. You ever notice that usually if you look for something, you'll find it? Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, right? Like I mentioned, we were looking at cars. We were car shopping this week. Oh, I could find every dent on that car, right? Just at a glance, right? Not, I mean, don't even think about the fact that the car that I've been driving has dents and dings all over it, but I don't see them anymore because I just get in and drive it, right? But these cars that we're going to be buying, I'm walking around like, yeah, there's a little spot right here. The tread looks a little low on this back left-hand tire, right? Like, all of a sudden, I can see everything that's wrong. Why? Because I was looking for it. Well, what if you were looking for positive things in people's life? What if when your wife woke up in the morning, instead of looking at the fact that her breath stinks and her hair isn't brushed and she hasn't showered yet and she didn't make coffee, what if you looked at her and you started looking for the positive things about her and the things that make you love her and the things that you appreciate about her and the things that God put inside of her that are specifically for you to enjoy and to love and to speak into her, and you started looking for those things and speaking those things instead of the things that all the stuff that you see that's wrong. Maybe when you come home, the house is a mess. How about the fact that your children are loved and they're taken care of and they're fed, right? Let's not always look for what's wrong. Let's look for what's right. So when you meet somebody new, when you've never met them before, find a way to encourage them. Find a way to build them up. Look for something. Maybe they have nice hair. Hey, you've got really nice hair. Now, don't be creepy. Hey, remember, tone is everything. Hey, you have really nice hair, right? You can just say, hey, I like your hair, right? Like, you got a nice haircut. Where you go to the barber, they did a really great job. I don't know. But find something encouraging to say to them. And the problem is we don't see that as spiritual. And we've got people that want to prophesy and speak in tongues, but they can't even say nice things to people. Everything is, you need to get this out of your life, and it would change if you do this, and if you that, and if you that. And you're just spewing bitterness and negativity into people's life. Try to build them up. Remember, it's not your job to convict people. It's the Holy Spirit's job to convict people. Our job is to love people. And if the Holy Spirit uses our love and our kindness to convict them, then praise the Lord. I'm not saying there's not a time to speak the truth, but what did Paul say in Ephesians? Speak the truth how? In love. Everything that we say should be bathed in love. Use your words to spark confidence and faith in them. Speak words of life and peace into people. And be creative. Don't just use cliches. Hey, nice shirt. That shirt has nothing to do with them, right? Say, hey, you have a great smile. Hey, it was really nice the way that you stood up for so-and-so when you did that. I admire the fact that you're dedicated to your family or you're dedicated to your job. Actually compliment them, not just what they have on. Don't just use cliches. Find a way to speak edification, but guard against flattery. Because one who flatters spreads a net for his own feet. So guard against flattery and seek to encourage. And I want to encourage you with this. Be a Barnabas. If you're familiar with Scripture, you know who Barnabas was. In the book of Acts, we hear of this man Barnabas. And according to Acts chapter 4, verse 36, his Jewish name was actually Joseph. But it says that the apostles, they begin to call him Barnabas. The word bar in Greek means son of, and the second half of his name, Barnabas, so Nabas, means encouragement. So they literally named him son of encouragement. Wasn't his name, it was a nickname. Now, some of us have nicknames that we've been given at work or at home that are definitely nowhere near son of encouragement. There's more of son of something else. And that's because of how the reason he was called son of encouragement is because of how he conducted himself. He encouraged people. He spoke into people's life because you don't get that nickname when you're tearing people down. You don't get that nickname when you're being negative all the time. He was a source of edification, and they took to calling him son of encouragement because that's exactly what he was. In fact, when the Apostle Paul, if you keep reading in the book of Acts, when the Apostle Paul first came to Jerusalem and he sought to meet the apostles, the Bible says they were scared of him. They were afraid. They thought, it's a trick. He's acting like he's converted to the way so that he can actually kill us. And it was Barnabas that brought Paul to them and said, no, this guy's legit. He's good. He stood in the gap for Paul, and he made a way for the apostles and Paul to connect. So they thought it was a hoax. They were trying to get rid of him. But your encouragement could be the difference in someone else's life. Listen, we're still reaping 13 books that Paul wrote in the New Testament because Barnabas said, hey, this guy's not a joke. He's for real. He spoke encouragement. He spoke peace. He spoke life. He spoke well of Paul instead of like other people saying, no, this guy's not the real deal. So let's be a Barnabas. Let's seek to encourage because you never know what that little encouragement can do in somebody else's life and how they're going to make a difference in somebody else's life. One more thing. Isaiah chapter 50. I'm sorry I didn't give you this passage, Shelley. Isaiah chapter 50, verse 4. It says, the Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned. Now, I read one translation. It says, the Lord God has given me a well-trained tongue. So, you may say, well, you're talking to us about training our own tongue. I remember where we started. No man can tame the tongue. You need the help of God. God will give you a well-trained tongue, but that doesn't mean you don't have to train your tongue. Here's what I mean by that. I remember when I was 7 years old, for Christmas, I got a BB gun. It's all I wanted for Christmas, and I got it. It was given to me as a gift by my parents. But it did not come with the ability to hit the target. It didn't come with the ability to shoot straight. I still had to go out in the yard and aim and practice in order to be able to hit the target that I wanted to hit. So they gave me a gun that had the ability to shoot straight, but I had to learn how to do it. It's the same way with your tongue. He'll give you the tongue of the trained, but you still have to exercise it. You still have to regulate what comes in. What am I listening to? What am I thinking about? You still have to decide, now's not the time to pull that trigger on that word. I need to pray about this before I speak into this matter. And then when the time comes, I'm gonna shoot. When I shoot, I'm going to shoot straight. I'm going to hit the target. And it's going to hit the target of encouragement and beneficiality into the hearer so that, like Paul said, it can impart grace to the people that are hearing the words that I say. So God's given you everything that you need for a trained tongue. Because according to 2 Peter, by his divine nature, he has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He's given you everything you need to be godly, but that doesn't mean you don't have to train. It doesn't mean you don't have to try. You still have to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling and choose, you know what? I could say this, but I'm not going to. I could go complain to them, but I'm going to go talk to God about it. And I'm going to seek to encourage other people. Amen? Stand to your feet with me today. Hopefully, this word has helped you get on the path if you've strayed. Listen, we all stumble in our words. We all mess up. We all get frustrated. It doesn't mean that we should just keep on doing that. When James wrote under the instruction and inspiration of the Holy Spirit that no man can tame the tongue, it wasn't to give us an excuse to live with an unbridled tongue. It was to show us that there is work that is necessary in order to speak the way that lines up with the Word of God and how He's called us to live. So if you would, bow your head and close your eyes with me. Father, I pray that you would, by the conviction of the Holy Spirit, begin to show us areas in our life where our words have not been blessing, where our words have not been beneficial, where our words have not been in line with the truth, but they've been wicked, they've been bad, they've been evil. God, show us even where our tone has been wrong and the way in which we say things. God, I pray that you would rend our hearts and that you would show us how we can walk in the training that you've given us for the tongue, that our tongue would be a shield and our tongue would not be a weapon to hurt, but a weapon to defend. God, I pray that our tongue would only speak that which is necessary for edification, that we could impart grace to the hearer. God, let us be wells of encouragement that just flow out, God, that are out of our mouth would flow rivers of living water that would impart into our family and into our community. God, help us to change the culture from sarcasm to encouragement, from negativity to the Word of God. Lord, help us to be grounded in everything that we do, and let us not speak things that are ill report, but God, on our tongue, let it be the report of the Lord. Let it be a trained tongue. Let us hear the words that are the words of the learned. And I pray that you would help us and equip us to exercise our tongue, to be vessels of righteousness, to be used of you for your glory and for your honor. And Lord, let us never forget to give you the glory, to give you the praise, to give you the honor, to open our mouth and declare how great and how awesome you are. Now, if you're here today and you would say, I want to make a fresh commitment to have a trained tongue, with every head bowed and every eye closed, would you just lift your hand? I just want to pray with you today. Father, I pray over every single person. I thank you for the acknowledgement. I thank you for the heart in which we have chosen to submit ourselves to you. And I thank you that any time that we give ourselves completely to you, you will help us in that area. And so, Lord, I pray for strength. Lord, I pray for creativity in our words. Lord, just like someone might say, wow, they sure have a creative mouth. Well, I pray that that would be said in a nice way, in a positive way, in a complimentary way, instead of in a way that is exposing unwholesome talk or unfruitful speech. And so would you just pray this with me today? Say, Lord Jesus, I surrender my heart because I know from the abundance of this heart, my mouth will speak. And I declare, I want a trained tongue. I want a holy tongue. I want a righteous tongue. I want a tongue that will speak words of edification, that will impart grace, will build up and not tear down. I submit myself to you. Train me, teach me, and help me to speak only words of life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Would you lift your hands and receive this blessing today? May the Lord bless you and keep you. Cause His face to shine upon you. Be gracious unto you. Lift up His countenance upon you. Keep you in His peace. May He smile all over you, and may you live and talk with a trained tongue that would speak words of healing and peace into others. In Jesus' name, amen. Don't forget, we've got baptism under the pavilion directly following service. We love you. Thank you so much for being here. God bless you.